Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. If I accidentally said my social media for 929 The Game, it's at 929 The Game on all social media platforms for the radio station, and that's underscore Dylan Matthews for my social media platforms as well. And appreciate all you tuning in. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians out there making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear loading truck drivers, all my UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 613 IBEW workers out there. Shout out to all my local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry, all my local hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local funeral home workers, and of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. Man, oh man, oh man, do we got to start with some sad news this morning? It's frustrating. It really is, and we were already in the midst of a very frustrating time when it comes to the Atlanta Hawks, but now the dam has completely broken. The final straw has broken the camel's back. It is just completely and utterly maddening what is happening with the Atlanta Hawks right now, and like I said, this was the final straw. Jalen Johnson out for the season. He is undergoing season-ending shoulder surgery to repair a torn labrum. And it just feels like, I'm going to be completely honest with you, it just feels like what could have been a productive, I'm not saying the Hawks were going to win the NBA Finals or go to the Eastern Conference Finals at that, but it felt like what could have been a really productive season for the Hawks has been taken away from them, and not to their own doing. Not because they did anything wrong or not because they've played completely horrible down the stretch of this season. Not because they didn't deserve to make the postseason or anything like that. And look, I completely understand there's still time for them to make the playoffs. They're still in ninth place. They would still make the play-in if the postseason started today. I understand all of that. But we were just in sixth place like last week. We were just out of the play-in just last week. It felt like we were getting healthier. It felt like this team was ready to go on maybe a little bit of a run after winning, what, three games in a row? You were 25-22, sixth place in the East, I believe it was. And now you have lost five games straight since then. Or you were maybe it was 22-20 or 23-20, something like that. And you have now lost, well, now six games straight. And they take on the top-seeded Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. They're 37-9, and you're taking them on in Cleveland. And you already know you're not going to have Jalen Johnson. And I'll look at the full injury report and get that to you here in just a minute and let you know who else could be out tonight. But it's just so frustrating. It just is really, really frustrating because, again, I'm not saying the Hawks were going to go on this magical run and make it to the NBA Finals, but it felt like they could have skipped the play-in for the first time in, what, 3-4 years? It felt like they could have made it maybe to the second round of the postseason and gotten some good experience, some good postseason experience for some of the younger guys, and just a – it could have been a good experience for this group, this new core group that we have in Trae Young, Jalen Johnson, and Zachary Sachet. It would have been good to get Zachary some playoff experience. And again, we still couldn't make it, and hopefully we do. But you just feel like this is taking any and all wind that the Hawks may have had. And again, in the midst of a 6-game losing streak, I'm not sure how much momentum they already had in their sales, but any momentum that they had, any positive energy that they had, feels like it's all gone now with what's happened with Jalen Johnson. And look, they probably knew what was up with Jalen before we did, so hopefully they can use this as a rallying point and beat the Cavaliers tonight. Trae Young knows he's going to have to step his game up to another level. Everybody's going to have to step up. The rookie, Zachary Sachet, he's going to have to step up. Onyeka Okongwu's going to have to step up even more. DeAndre Hunter. So it's going to take everyone for this Hawks team to rebound, bounce back, and find a way to turn this season around, get back to 500 or over 500. So it just, hearing that news was completely deflating. Like, it literally just deflated me. Like, I felt like I was like, okay, you know, Hawks, hopefully they can get Jalen back, you know, soon. Maybe even if it's not tonight against the Cavaliers, they get him back soon, and they can still go on a run with how jumbled up the East is. And then you get the news of Jalen Johnson being out for the rest of the season, and at that point it's just like, what are we doing? What's going on, man? And if it was a scenario, this scenario is not going to feel good either way. But if it was a scenario where Jalen had been playing all season, and you know we had been healthy all season, and maybe we had a little bit of a better record, and we were maybe a few games over 500, and then this happened, it wouldn't feel maybe as bad, but with the injuries that have already plagued this team and have had guys in and out of the lineup all season long, it just feels like, again, it almost feels like, to me, what the Braves went through last season, the Hawks are going through this season. Guys are in and out of the lineup. You're missing. Now you missed a – now you're going to have to play without your key guy. You're not your best player. Your best player is Trae Young, but definitely your most versatile player. You're going to have to play without your most versatile player now if you're the Hawks for the rest of the season. And you just got to figure it out. And it is beyond frustrating for me and I'm sure the rest of you Falcons fans out there. But we'll take a look at the updated injury report for tonight's game at Cleveland. Trae Young is probable with right hamstring tightness, but he is probable, so most likely he's going to play. Clint Capella, back spasms, out. Bogey, out. He's not with the team right now currently. I don't know what's up with that. I don't know what that means. Kobe Bufkin, obviously still out. He's out for the rest of the season too. Cody Zeller, still not with the team. Don't know if he is ever coming back. He's out. And then obviously Jalen Johnson is out. So it's good that DeAndre Hunter is off the injury report. But it's going to have to be a heavy dose of Trae Young tonight. Heavy dose of DeAndre Hunter. Heavy dose of Onyeka Okongwu. And the rest of these guys are going to have to step up as well. Heavy dose of Zachary Sachet is going to have to step up for tonight and the rest of the season. But, man, this is just so frustrating. So frustrating right now. But, again, the lone silver lining to all of this right now is the fact that the Hawks are still in the mix as far as the play-in and can still, if they go on a run, they go on a couple of winning streaks here, if they, you know, can find a way to win three games in a row, then maybe drop one, then get back to a three-game or four-game losing streak. I mean, winning streak, excuse me. They can find a way to do that. They can find themselves right back in the mix because, believe it or not, they are still only 2.5 games back from being in sixth. The Magic right now are 24-24 at sixth place in the East. So now Indiana, the rest of the teams are starting to separate themselves a little bit. Indiana at 26-20. They got you by, you know, 5.5 games or, you know, 4.5 games, whatever the case is. So you still getting above the play-in line is still very much in reach for the Atlanta Hawks. Now you got to start going to work. You got to start doing it now, but it is very much in play for the Hawks. And the other good news about that, as far as it being Orlando, Orlando's in your division, and you still got a lot of shots at Orlando. I believe just this upcoming month in February, you play Orlando a lot. I'll take a look at that here in just a second. But there is still, again, all is not lost. This is a huge, huge blow to the Atlanta Hawks. It is very frustrating. It is very maddening. All that is true. But this is, I will say at least, this is not a killing blow to the Hawks season. They still got Trey. DeAndre's going to have to continue to play well. Hopefully, Bogey, again, who's not with the team right now for whatever reason, hopefully he comes back and he can start to find his way and get into a rhythm, and hopefully he can stay on the court. And hopefully Zachary Sache can start to turn things up as well. And Onyeka Okongwu's going to have to continue to play well. Hopefully Clint comes back sooner rather than later as well, and he can get rid of those back spasms. And what do you do with the trade deadline? Trade deadline's coming up soon, February 6th, I believe it is. Can you make something happen at the trade deadline? I don't know what really value you have to trade. Bogey's not with the team right now. I don't know if that has anything to do with a possible move they're maybe planning to make. Clint Capella, I don't know how much value you can get back for Clint Capella. So I'm not sure if there's a move out there to be made at this point, because I don't think you're really going to want to trade DeAndre Hunter at this point. I mean, maybe you want to trade DeAndre Hunter and try to get something back for him, but at this point, I don't think they want to trade DeAndre Hunter. I don't think they should trade DeAndre Hunter. He's been playing well, but he is definitely, if you're trying to make a move with the trade deadline, DeAndre Hunter is your most tradable asset right now. He's under contract for, I think, two or three more years at least. So he'd be more than just a rental for a team that wants his services. He's a really good defender, and he's showing that he can score and be very good off the bench. I mean, he is definitely should be in talks to Sixth Man of the Year right now, if not the leading candidate for Sixth Man of the Year right now. So while he is your most tradable asset, I'm not sure you can afford to give up DeAndre Hunter right now, especially that you don't have Jalen Johnson, because now you need that long athletic wing who can, again, guard your best defender. And I would not be surprised if we see DeAndre Hunter back in the starting lineup tonight to take over for Jalen Johnson. And I wonder if we have a starting lineup of Trae Young, Dyson Daniels, who, by the way, he's also off the injury report, so that is good. We should have Dyson. Trae Young, Dyson Daniels, DeAndre Hunter, Zachary Sache, and Onyeka Okongwu. I wonder if that's the starting lineup, or if you want to keep DeAndre comfortable, keep him coming off the bench. Maybe you throw a Vic Krejci in there. And if Bogey comes back, I do wonder maybe if you want to throw a Bogey in the starting lineup, but we'll see. So we'll see how they adjust the lineup. Again, they may end up keeping DeAndre coming off the bench to keep him comfortable and keep that bench at least with some bit of scoring prowess in there, especially since Bogey is out right now. So they're probably, now that I think about it, they're probably going to end up keeping DeAndre Hunter coming off the bench and, you know, throw a Vic Krejci in the starting lineup, because there's not going to be a lot of pressure on him to score with Trae Young in there, Dyson in there, Zachary Sache in there, Onyeka in there. So we'll see. But going back to the point that I was making about playing the Magic, you play them, let's see, once, twice, You play the Magic. So you play the Magic twice this month. So look, you could definitely easily have a shot to get back into that sixth place spot, but it's not going to be easy without Jalen Johnson. The rest of the season, not going to be easy without Jalen Johnson. But Trey Young, again, DeAndre Hunter, Zachary Sache, Bogey, hopefully when he comes back, Onyeka Okongwu, all these guys, Dyson Daniels, going to have to step up and step up in a big way. But, I mean, again, just absolutely devastating, deflating, all the bad emotions when hearing Jalen Johnson is out for the season with a torn labrum. All right, when we come back here on the Hometown Take, let's shift our focus to the Senior Bowl. Couple of standouts yesterday, including one that caught everybody's eye here in Atlanta and maybe nationally too. And I'm not so sure that's a good thing. We'll talk about it next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning, and I hope y'all are doing well. Thank you to all my overnighters, truck drivers, all my people already at work or on their way to work for tuning in, tapping in. Shout out to all my people that are already at the gym or on their way to the gym for tuning in and tapping in with your boy. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. We'll get back into Jalen Johnson here in a little bit and talk about that. Obviously, he is out for the season after tearing his labrum in his, right shoulder, I believe it is. And Hawks are just going to have to battle. Guys are going to have to step up. Everybody on that Hawks team is going to have to step up now without Jalen Johnson again. Not the best player, but definitely the most versatile player on the Atlanta Hawks. And it's going to start tonight when they take on the Cleveland Cavaliers in primetime. National television. They'll be on TNT for my streamers out there, Max, all that good stuff. So you already know you can hear that game, too, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Your home for the Atlanta Hawks, flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks. Pregame going to start at 6:30 tonight. Tip off shortly after 7 o'clock with Steve Holman on the call. But let's go to the gridiron. The Senior Bowl happening right now. Practices for the Senior Bowl, I should say. And one guy that we have heard, if you've been listening to the morning shift or you listened to the morning shift yesterday, they gave you some great insight on Mike Green, and they had Charles Davis on, NFL analyst for CBS and NFL Network, who is at the Senior Bowl right now. He talked with them about Mike Green, and they also talked about Mike Green. I got to give Squidbilly credit. He brought up Mike Green as a guy that he has grown fond of as far as who's been standing out in the Senior Bowl and who he likes and who he's been watching film on. And, well, Mike Green got introduced to more than just the morning shift and Squidbilly yesterday. He got introduced to the world by his own doing. He absolutely plowed over an offensive lineman yesterday, and that clip started to go viral. Everybody has now seen Mike Green, and everybody is aware of who he is. He is a defensive end, edge rusher, whatever you want to call him, out of Marshall. I think he had, 17 and a half sacks this past season at Marshall. Very productive. And, man, when you talk about having a quick first step, got a nice spin move, he showed off that he's got the bull rush in his bag, too, after plowing over that offensive lineman. Poor dude. That's a rep he definitely had to forget about immediately. But anywho, he is a guy that the Falcons could be in position to take at number 15 because you feel like the Jalen Walkers of the world, the Abdul Carters of the world, those two, you feel like those two guys for sure probably not going to be there for the Falcons at 15. But you felt pretty confident about Mike Green being there. And I say felt in the past tense because I don't know now, after what he did yesterday and depending on what he does the rest of the week or the rest of these few days at practice in the Senior Bowl than in the actual Senior Bowl game. If he continues to stand out and play like this, I mean, he gets one more viral clip like that, he might go up a couple of draft spots to the point where the Falcons are going to have to find themselves maybe trading up to try and get a guy like Mike Green. Or potentially, if he moves his draft stock up enough, he might be out of the Falcons' range. So I'm not sure it's such a great thing that Mike Green continues to go viral and had this viral clip because, you know, the Falcons wanted to kind of get him on the low, in the low key. But we'll see. It's going to be, you know, you want him to be able to perform. And even if that means, you know, the Falcons not being able to get him, it is what it is. And the Falcons, if they fall in love with him like that, guess what? They can try to trade up to go get him. Now, you don't have that many picks already, so you might have to start diving into 2026 picks. But, hey, it is what it is. So we'll see. And look, that might be after one clip. I'm not sure he boosted up his draft stock that much. And then, you know, well, as we get closer to the draft, we'll talk about the teams that are in front of you and who needs what and, you know, how the draft may end up falling. But you, at this point, it's way too early to tell who's going to end up going where as far as, like, you know, after maybe the top five or the top eight or something like that. So it's still too early to say where exactly, you know, guys are going to land and go. And, again, we still got the combine. Senior Bowl practices are still going on. So it's no need to fret now, but it just was a little thought. I was like, hey, now, this is a guy that the Falcons want, and he's going viral right now. And if he continues to do that, who knows? He's going to be on these other teams' radar. Not to say that he wasn't on other teams' radar already, but he'll really be on other teams' radar. And some team, you know, that's in, you know, that has a top 10 pick, he might end up getting scooped up. And that wouldn't be great for the Falcons. But anywho, that was definitely something that was pretty, pretty interesting yesterday and an interesting development. And it was, I mean, it was crazy to see. And there were a couple other guys. I think, who was it? We saw Arian Smith, I think, had a good rep out there that was circling around. He had a pretty good route on, I forgot which cornerback it was. I have to go back and look, but seemed like he had a good day yesterday. Unfortunately, we did see, and this was another guy that was talked about on the morning shift, and they talked about him with Charles Davis. Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle out of Ole Miss, he got a little bit shaken up, had to go back to the locker room, so not sure what exactly happened to him. I'll have to take a look at that, but he was able to walk under his own power. Now, look, I'm sure he'd be okay, but, you know, you want to make sure you have every single opportunity you can to show all the scouts, all the teams that, you know, you deserve to be a first-round pick, a high pick, and, you know, you can't do that if you're not on the field. So it's always unfortunate when you see guys get shaken up on that front. But it was very cool to see Mike Green, a guy who, again, we have been talking about here locally for just that same day, for him to have a moment like that was pretty funny and pretty cool. But again, hopefully he'll be there for the Falcons when it's all said and done. But we'll see about that. The Senior Bowl, not the Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl does happen this weekend, but it's not continuing today. Senior Bowl practices continue to today, and then obviously you'll have the game this weekend. But I want to move on to another topic here, and I kind of want to go back to the NBA a little bit because Adam Silver, the news came out yesterday that there is going to be the idea of a 10-minute quarter in the NBA. So Adam Silver, he seems like he's a fan of these 10-minute quarters in the NBA. And right now the quarters are 12 minutes apiece, so a 48-minute game. A 10-minute quarter obviously would make it a 40-minute game, so that would shorten the game a little bit, make it a little bit faster, obviously. So Adam Silver said yesterday that he likes the idea of shortening the games to 40 minutes by going from 12 to 10-minute quarters. He said, quote, "As we get more involved in global basketball, the NBA is the only league that plays 48 minutes, and I am a fan of four 10-minute quarters." And Silver said this during an afternoon appearance on the Dan Patrick Show. He said, "I'm not sure that many others are. putting aside what it means for records and things like that, yeah, I think that a two-hour format for a game is more consistent with modern television habits. And NBA games this season right now are averaging 2 hours, 16 minutes as far as runtime goes, and that's nearly identical to the past 15 seasons, 2 hours, 15 minutes, according to data from ESPN Research, so literally just a minute off, so that's not really much. And Silver also went on to say, I think of a television program being 2 hours, Olympic basketball being 2 hours, and college basketball, of course, is 40 minutes. Silver told that to Dan Patrick, of course. So this remark from Adam Silver came in response to Patrick's question about something league officials have discussed potentially changing in the future when it comes to the NBA. And Silver also said that awarding two free throws to shooters who are fouled on three-point attempts has been mentioned in conversations. Now, I don't know how much you keep up with the G League. My girlfriend is a sideline reporter for the Birmingham Squadron. That's the New Orleans Pelicans G League affiliate. And I say that to say this. I've obviously been to some of her G League games that she's go to. And in the G League, when you get fouled, you do not shoot two free throws. You shoot one free throw. If you make that free throw, you get 2 points. If you miss that free throw, you don't get nothing. So that is just the way the NBA has used the G League to experiment with rule changes that might be, that could come up in the NBA. And for, again, for this, maybe shooting two free throws instead of three on a three-point attempt could be something that comes into play, because they do that in the G League as well. And then maybe if they implement that rule about only shooting two free throws on a three-point attempt, I would have to guess that they're maybe going to implement. If they implement that, I don't see why they wouldn't implement the rule that you only shoot one free throw for a two-point attempt. So we'll see if that ends up getting implemented as well. But that is one thing about the NBA that I feel like they have, since Adam Silver has come in, I feel like they have not been shy about experimenting. They haven't experimented with the game a whole lot. Obviously, they've put the take foul in there, which I think is a good rule. And they have done, you know, other small things, but obviously changing the game time would be a big change. And then they've, you know, they've experimented with the All-Star game a whole lot. I mean, it's going to be completely different this year too. So they have done some good experimenting, and I think Adam Silver has done a good job as NBA commissioner thus far, as trying to make good changes, not necessarily making changes for the sake of change, but making good, actual, constructive changes. And I think going from 12 minutes to 10 minutes, I think that would be a good change to look. They're not going to do it, I don't think. I don't think they'll ever make this change. But the NBA regular season does not have to be 82 games. It just doesn't. It could be 60. I thought it was perfect that 1 year they had the lockout for a little while, and then they came back, and then they end up playing 60 games. I thought that was a perfect regular season. If you remember, that was actually LeBron's first championship year. Just a fun fact there. But they won't make that change because there's too much money to be had now. But changing it from 10 to 12 or 12 to 10 minutes, I think would be a good change because, again, the NBA games can be faster. I hope one day maybe there'll be less games, even though they probably won't. But I think 12 to 10 minutes, I think, is a good change. And I think that will be a good spot for the NBA. All right. When we come back here on the Hometown Take, we'll get into some NFL headlines. A guy that we thought could be our DC gets a job somewhere else. And Bill Belichick. Oh, Bill Belichick. He's ready for the Lombardi Trophy name to be renamed. And you can probably guess who he wants it to be named after. You get one wild guess. Think about it during the break. We'll be back right after this on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Thursday morning. I hope you all are Doing well here as we are over the hump. Got over the hump yesterday, and we are all the way downhill to the weekend now, y'all. And hopefully you got some good weekend plans. It's a good weekend to get some productive stuff done. If you got anything that the missus needs you to do around the house, or you got any lawn care things you need to do this weekend, this is the weekend to get it done, fellas. I'm trying to put y'all on game right now, trying to give y'all a little advice. Open up your ears. If there's any house projects, any type of cleaning, any type of whatever, chores that you aren't looking to do next weekend when it's Super Bowl weekend, because we all know you're going to be trying to relax. You don't want to have a lot of stuff on the to-do list before watching the big game. Go ahead and knock it out this weekend. You can maybe do something while you're watching the Senior Bowl if you're indulging in that. I'm not sure if you're going to want to watch the Pro Bowl or not. Maybe you are. Maybe you're going to want to watch the Saturday night festivities where they play dodgeball and tug of war and do all that stuff. You know, you can skip that if you want and get some stuff done. All I'm telling you is, if you got something that you need to get done, this is the weekend to do it. It's not a super heavy sports weekend, nothing too crazy going on besides college basketball and the NBA. Regular season continuing. Again, you got the Senior Bowl, you got the Pro Bowl, but other than that, not a whole lot happening. So go ahead and knock out whatever you need to knock out. Okay? All right. Let's talk about speaking of the NFL and the Pro Bowl, let's talk about some NFL headlines here. How about a guy that was tied to the Falcons as potentially being their next defensive coordinator? A lot of people wanted this guy here in Atlanta. He has found a landing spot. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Steve Wilks. He is going to be the Jets defensive coordinator. I think that's a good landing spot. Him and Aaron Glenn have not worked together, but Aaron Glenn did talk about how he was going to have two coordinators because he wanted to be able to be the head coach. He wanted to be able to manage the game. And he also said this during his introductory press conference. He said he wasn't planning on calling the defensive plays either. He said, quote, "I want to be the best head coach you can find." And he said, "In order for me to do that, I think I need to manage the game." And apparently Glenn was attracted to Steve Wilks in part because Steve Wilks has been a head coach before. And we know, we know Aaron Glenn has not been a head coach before. So he wanted a guy that has had some head coaching experience before. So he went out, got Steve Wilks, who was the Cardinals head coach back in 2018 and was fired after going 3-13. But, you know, he had Josh Rosen team and all that. And, you know, I think he might have gotten a little dirty in Arizona. But anywho, he was also the Carolina Panthers interim coach back in 2022. And he can definitely lend some of his head coaching experience to Aaron Glenn, again, first-time head coach. So you have a guy that has head coaching experience that can help him out with some of those things, can help him get over the hump of being a new head coach, a guy that can and will call the defensive plays as a experienced and very good defensive coordinator as well. So very good hire, in my opinion, very, very good hire for Aaron Glenn to bring in Steve Wilks. So I think that was a very, very good pickup for the Jets and Wilks. And like I told you earlier, Wilks and Glenn, they have no previous experience working together. And during his Monday introductory press conference, Glenn did say this: "I'm looking for the best coach. That's all I'm looking for. He's going to be compatible, and it doesn't have to be from somebody I had. It can be from across the league. When I go through the interview process, everything is on the table, and the best coaches will be here," end quote. So, look, you love to hear a mindset like that from Aaron Glenn. He's like, "I don't care who it is. I don't care if I've worked with him, haven't worked with him. I don't care nothing about that. I want the best coaches here." And I'm sure I already know some Falcons fans are like, "Yeah, why Raheem Morris have that mindset?" And I've already explained, you know, I think Raheem made the best decision for the Falcons as well. And I think him and Jeff Olbrich's relationship, who, by the way, Steve Wilks, who was hired by Aaron Glenn, is coming in to replace Jeff Olbrich, who was the interim head coach / DC of the Jets before coming over here to the Falcons. Well, he was let go, and then he came over here from the Jets to be now the Falcons DC. But I say all this to say that I know some Falcons fans are probably like, yeah, I wish Raheem Morris would have that mindset, not care if we worked with him before or not. And that might have been his mindset. He might just felt like Jeff Olbrich was the best defensive coordinator for the team. And their relationship will just help again. But anywho, I think it is a good pickup for the Jets. Think it's a good hire for Aaron Glenn, and we'll see how he puts the rest of that staff together. All right, let's move on to another story I teased before the break. Bill Belichick. Oh, Bill. He's still giving all his credit, as the young kids say. I think he's doing a little bit of glazing to Tom Brady. He was on with Jim Gray on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray, and he talked about how he's ready to see the Lombardi Trophy renamed. Who does he want it to be renamed after? Well, the guy that he won seven of them with, Tom Brady. He said this, quote, players win games. You can't win games without good players. I don't care who the coach is. It's impossible. You can't win without good players, you know. I found that out when I had Lawrence Taylor and Carl Banks and Harry Carson, Pepper Johnson, Jim Burt, Everson Walls, all those guys at the Giants, who has won 8 Super Bowl rings, including 2 as an assistant. Oh, that wasn't part of the quote. And the same thing when we got good at Cleveland and then at New England. I mean, it's Tom Brady, it's Willie McGinnis, it's Mike Vrabel, it's Teddy Bruschi, it's Corey Dillon, it's Randy Moss, Troy Brown, Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law, Rodney Harrison. Those are guys that won games, man. I didn't make any tackles. I didn't make any kicks. That was Adam Vinatieri that made that kick in 4 inches of snow. You have got to have good players as a coach. You want to give your players a chance to win. You want to put them in position where if they go out there and play well, they'll have a chance to win. That's what Coach Parcells taught me, is there's always a way to win. You've just got to figure out what it is, and you have to give the players a chance. Now, Jim Gray, after Belichick said all that, he said they don't name it the Star Trophy, referring to Bart Starr, who was the Packers quarterback for those first 2 Super Bowl wins. It's named the Lombardi Trophy, who was Bart Starr's coach, Lombardi. And Bill Belichick responded, maybe they should name it the Brady Trophy. He won 7 of them. So there you have it. Bill Belichick wants the Lombardi Trophy renamed to the Brady Trophy. He says he don't care about it being named after the coach. He says the players that play, it's the players that win the games. And look, it does seem like the ultimate glaze from Bill Belichick, but he's not wrong. I mean, now I think having a good coach helps develop players, like, and it's not just the head coach either, like position coaches that help develop those players to become good players that help win the games. So I think it's a balance. You have to have good players, and you have to have good coaches that help take those players to the next level. Yes. Some players are, they come in to the NFL great, and they start off with their hair on fire. I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes will probably tell you he has a lot of people to thank as far as how he's gotten to the point where he's gotten. So it's a marriage. It's a coach and a player working together, the player willing to be coachable, the coach putting their all and doing everything they can to help develop that player. So it's a combination of both. Now, as far as renaming it the Brady Trophy, look, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think they would do it. I think the Lombardi Trophy has been, that name has been around too long. I don't think they would go to that length and rename it the Brady Trophy. If they did, okay, that would be pretty funny to me. At the end of the day, I really probably wouldn't care that much. It's a fun discussion. It's a fun topic, but I don't think they're going to rename it. But it's just funny that, you know, Bill Belichick is saying this because there was this argument about, you know, and there's this argument about, you know, was it more Brady? Was it more Belichick? Who was it? Who helped, you know, who is more responsible for those 7 championships that the Patriots won during the Brady-Belichick era? And so there was always that discussion between, you know, talking heads and fans, pundits, all that stuff. And, you know, you hear Brady and you hear Belichick saying, it's the players. It's all the players. So And I mean, we did see after Tom Brady left, he went and won another Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. Bill Belichick didn't have that same luck with Mac Jones. Now, Mac Jones, they go to the playoffs their first season, and then, you know, they thought having Joe, who was it? It was like Joe Brady and what's the other guy's name? I can't remember. He used to head coach the Lions. I have to look up his name. But they basically had two defensive coaches being co-offensive coordinators to try and help out Mac Jones. And that absolutely – Matt Patricia, that's who I was thinking about. They had Matt Patricia and, like, Joe Brady, I think, be the offensive coordinators for Mac Jones. And that just wasn't – that might be one of, like, the dumbest moves in the history of football, honestly. But anywho, so far it looks like, you know, it definitely, according to Belichick, and the way it looked, the way it played on history, it looked like, you know, Brady obviously was a big part and maybe was the main cog to all those championships in New England. So, anywho, I thought that was a pretty fun discussion. And, you know, we see that Bill Belichick, after these years and after going to college football, he's like, yeah, it was Brady. It was the players. They deserve all the credit, you know, not necessarily the coaches. But moving on to one more quick story here while we have a couple of minutes. Let's go. Let's talk about the Super Bowl a little bit, but a little bit different angle when it comes to the Super Bowl. How about some commercials for Super Bowl 59 have been sold for $8 million? My goodness gracious, that's a lot of moolah for us for a 30-second to 1-minute ad. At least 10 commercials to air during Super Bowl 59 on Fox have sold for $8 million. That's according to multiple reports that came out yesterday. Fox reported in November that it had sold out of ad spots at what it said believed to be record pricing. Yeah, if you're selling some ads for $8 million a pop, it's probably going to have some probably going to be record pricing. Fox CEO Lachlan Murdoch said at the time that as spots were dwindling, the price increased. Supply and demand, of course. According to reports, Super Bowl ads normally increase by about $100,000 each year. But this year, the increase was reportedly closer to $500,000. Increased by $500,000? That's crazy. But look, Super Bowl continues to be the most watched event, most watched programming year after year. So look, supply and demand. People are watching it. People are going to see it. Price goes up. Once those spots start dwindling away, price goes up. So I am not surprised about this at all. Around 123.7 million people watched the Super Bowl last year, according to Nielsen, and that was more than the 115 million viewers that watched in 2023, the last time the Super Bowl aired on Fox. So probably going to be even more people this year. And Anheuser-Busch, Meta, Pepsi Cola, Frito-Lay, Taco Bell, Uber Eats, and others will vie to win over more than 120 million viewers that are expected to tune in for the broadcast on Fox and via the free live stream on Tubi. Okay, Tubi, I see you getting the free live stream coming in for the people. So there you go. And Fox also did decline to comment on the specific price tag for 30 seconds. Last year, 30-second spot went around for reportedly $7 million. So, man, 30 seconds. $8 million. Must be nice to have that kind of money as a corporation, be able to spend that much on a 30-second spot. But look, and you know people are going to have eyeballs on it, so got to do what you got to do. All right, got to spend money to make money, people. That is it for this edition of the Hometown Take. I'll be back tomorrow on a Friday. We'll do Grill and Dylan, talk about more about the Senior Bowl. We'll talk about what the Hawks were able to do against the Cavaliers and more. But until then, the morning shift with Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson is coming up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 5 a.m. Until then, peace.